Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love to share our fascination with the planetary patterns and what and their resonance with what's going on here on Earth and in our lives. And hopefully let astrology be as useful a tool to you as it is to us. We hope to make astrology as accessible as possible. And I am Heather Rowan Robbins, speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, and I am joined by my esteemed colleagues in New York City, Mark
Wolf, in Manhattan, over on the west side of the island of Manhattan, along the Hudson River, and over on the east side.
Ann Ortley, at my bright red desk, sitting here enjoying a lovely temperature, beautiful night. It's gorgeous here tonight.
Lucky. It is hot and beastly here, and I'm hearing from people that are still out of power in New York, Washington area, how hot and beastly it is there.
Wow, okay.
And I was reading today in an article in Science Magazine and also in an article that Karen Casey posted up on Facebook about new evidence of climate change and how close we are to the tipping point, which some studies suggest may be about 15 years out or less in our ecosystem. And that as the patterns are holding now, the trouble is once you hit the tipping point, you have no way of predicting because ecosystems are changing so radically. But that already it looks like within 60 years, and it could be decades less, but within 60 years, the temperatures on Earth will be hotter than it's been any time since the human species first evolved.
Wow.
And entirely based on man-made activity and our, the fact that our humans have quadrupled in the last 100 years and the how much of the Earth's surface is no longer wild but is been monocultured through agriculture and through other changes that we're making in the ecosystem. So it's really uncomfortable. And
well, I have to say, if we got all the various species on the planet together and took a vote, I think we'd be voted off the planet.
Oh, absolutely. We'd be voted off the island.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
we're the
one
on
the island, so we can't vote it off, but, you know, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
We're the one that's being that's behaving like the virus.
We are kind of it.
But with this Uranus-Pluto conjunction, you know, it's the one thing that Uranus-Pluto together can be good for is speeding up the rate of evolution and the speeding up the rate of waking up. And, you know, I'm hoping that this summer's wild weather and out here we see how wild it is because of the windstorms, the fires, the floods are picking up, and that all weather extremes will tend to become more extreme as the ecosystem shifts. That kind of shifts people out of their complacency or out of their abstract sense of ecological change and actually engages them. Because when we do engage, we are such an ingenious group of people. Mm-hmm. We can make so much happen in such a short period of time when we really put our minds to it. If we could treat this like we did World War II, if we could treat it with that kind of level of working together and ingenuity, I'm sure we could solve this.
Yeah,
that's an interesting comparison, too, because we can certainly make a lot of money while we're at it. You know, one of the biggest uses for wars is they make money. They solve the economic problems. But there are many ways to generate activity, economic activity. And one of them is fixing the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So developing solar energy, developing wind energy, all these kinds of things can be a tremendous economic boost.
Yes. It certainly could be.
Well, and I always find it kind of, there was an exhibit at one point at the New York, the Natural History Museum, and they did the graphs, you know, and you just kind of stand there and look at the graphs as the stuff goes up. And, you know, people go, oh, you know, people have been on Earth forever, but it's like the whole geothermal part where we've had combustion engines, that's only been a couple hundred years.
And
so the whole concept,
More change, yes.
And, yeah, it's not a, you know, it's a relatively new change in human life, in human behavior, and really that's the industrial age is really when the stuff started to spike. So it's like, you know, we can kill ourselves off by doing this stuff too. Because
this
is not a good thing. And my dad was in town last week. So one of the things he wanted to see was the Hayden Planetarium, and you go down this huge walk, the walk of the planets, you know, and the bacteria comes in. You know, my stepmother's Catholic, and so she's like, okay, so what day is this? You know, and we're doing the creation story. And we get to the bottom, and it, you know, and they do the dinosaurs, and they do the this, and the bacteria, and the protozoa, and the multiform. Get to the bottom, and they say, okay, in human existence, the whole 30,000 years of us is the equivalent of a human hair. And they have a little hair under glass. And then you kind of go, you know, because you've been walking at 45 million years per step, and you see what a little time
yes,
we are.
A little tiny bit.
But how much we've affected the Earth on such a short period of time of existence. So it's also kind of like, well, you know, it's this big. We don't want to break this baby. We want to live here and have a good time. So,
yeah,
at least I do.
It's another reason that astrology is so fascinating, because we're looking at the planets and the stars and everything that's out there around us. And it's not just lights in our sky. It looks like lights in our sky, but it's forms of energy moving around in a huge, vast space. And, they all have some kind of message for each other, all these moving bodies.
Yes, and this week they are moving, and we see this Uranus-Pluto square that's going to be working with us for the next 3 years, helping us make these major changes. And it's happening this time in cardinal signs, which really can initiate change. Now, we hope they're good changes, but they will be all kinds of changes. We can direct them, though, and vote for that with our imagination. But every time these personal planets set it off, it pulses and rings, and we are affected by it. And remember, Pluto is perfectly happy to make us miserable or depressed, to help us leave something familiar to go exploring for something better. Uranus also brings up an existential, personal discontent, and usually tends to catalyze sudden action. So we see a lot of high-profile couples breaking up right now.
Or forming. Eric Baldwin got married, you know.
Yep, and we see sudden connections, too.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever your state was in before, it's very tempting to shift it.
Yes.
Now, I'm also seeing couples that have been together for a long time but gotten kind of complacent with each other, using this combination as a chance to, you know, actually wake up and see each other with fresh eyes. So it doesn't have to be bad. But if it's going to, it's kind of shaking up the ground, so it can shake it up in any particular direction. You know, if you don't get, you'll tend to break up and get farther apart right now.
Right.
So last week the Sun opposed Pluto and squared Uranus. Tomorrow we have a full moon, and the full moon will be within 2 or 3 degrees of this Pluto Uranus square, and will also be ringing it like a bell.
Mm-hmm.
We also had Venus is now in Gemini conjuncting Jupiter, which Venus Jupiter means lots of things, lots of emotions, but it's in Gemini, which is kind of more talkative and a little bit more chipper and shallow, which will help us move on. But the thing that, when the big news of the week is Mars getting out of Virgo, where it's been since December, for it's been a ridiculously long time.
November. Long time.
And heading into Libra. Now, as it does that, it's going to move into an opposition to Uranus and a square to Pluto. So we're really going to feel it in a few weeks. But, Anne, what do you see as Mars goes into Libra?
Well, I think people have been working very hard at defining things and working on figuring out what they want, because Mars has been in Virgo. back and forth since November, beginning of November, but it's been retrograde in there. And when we found a lot of people shifting allegiances or shifting direction at the last week of January through the middle of April, and now Mars is wrapping up the cycle, and he's saying, okay, I've made you pay attention to what you've created, what you've built, what you've done, because Mars in Virgo is always about what we've done and how to do it a little better or maybe perhaps change the process. And so Mars in Virgo very often has spoken to us from the point of view of criticism, or that's not quite what I want, or, you know, that's okay, but I'm not. So now he's going to say, okay, you don't want that, but what do you want? Because Mars in Libra is going to seek to find partners rather than existing with, you know, staying with existing things that don't work so well. So it's very much a partnership-oriented placement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to want to say, okay, this is how I want a partner going forward. So what's happened this last week, I think, is a lot of people have said, you know, I don't want to partner with you anymore, and I got to get rid of you, or I got to change this up somehow. And sometimes it's not getting rid of them. Sometimes it's just changing the energy. But it's also about a recognition of what we want or don't want. Now as it goes into Libra, the work that we've been doing with Saturn in Libra since summer of 2010, when Saturn went into Libra for the, you know, the beginning of this journey, Mars now is going to say to Saturn, okay, I figured out what you want, because remember, our Mars is a personal planet. He's the one that goes and gets us what we want. So now that we're clear on it, he's actually going to be able to go do some delivering on the big picture of what we've been yearning, working on, trying to figure out, kind of new direction stuff. So I think it's going to be a great time. It'll be a reprise of the Summer of Love, because Venus is in Gemini and Mercury is in Libra, and we're all going to say, this is what I love. I love this and I want more of it. And I had that this week with the pasta and hopefully, you know, other things to come. But it also is very much about the vision. What is it that inspires us?
Mm-hmm.
What makes us want to do something? So that's what I'm looking forward to. Mark, what do you see it being?
I actually like Mars in Libra. And it's an interesting thing because we say that Mars is not in good shape in Libra because it's in the opposite sign to where it rules. But very often with planets, when they're in a planet that they don't rule, they operate in some ways better. And I think that's true with Mars in Libra and also in Capricorn, or I mean Cancer. And Capricorn. You would think sometimes that Mars in Capricorn wouldn't be so good. And we call it exalted there. Mars in Capricorn is exalted. But in Libra we say that it's in its detriment. And it so we think, well, Mars in Libra is not a good positioning. But, you know, Mars is such a strong, straightforward, and in many ways self-centered energy, that when it's in Aries, yes, it's in its rulership, but it's really in many ways too strong and really unbounded. But when it has to operate through Libra and constantly have to check, what does this mean for you, my partner, it really helps it. So overall, I'm glad to see Mars in Libra for a while. You know, I don't mind, you know, that we get a time with it in Aries, too. But seeing it in Libra, like, let's learn from how Mars can work in Libra. Mm-hmm.
And on one day, you know, Libra can feel like the vacuous Venusian and sort of, you know, cheerful and romantic and positive on that side. On another level, Libra is a sign of social justice, that equality equals peace. You know, that fairness is is the only way through. And Mars in Libra, whatever sign Mars is in, can tell us what really pisses us off. Something feeling unbalanced or unfair will tend to be what makes us most unhappy and activates us most to action while Mars is in Libra. And that could be in the household, or it can be in the culture and the politics around us. So we're both looking at, you know, the action towards coupling and romance and egalitarian friendships and partnerships, but also this other side. You know, Libra's the sign of open of equal relationships, and open warfare is also an equal relationship, but people will tend to do directly and as equals, for better or for worse, or demand that that's what they're doing. With Venus and Gemini trining it, as long as we're talking, we're okay. It also, in relationships, says, you know, talk it out to me, but it also says words are what's seductive. With Venus and Mars, both in Libra, you want to talk to the ones you love. You want to talk and share ideas, but also if you want to get romantic, talk about it. Use words to bring their mind to the moment. How we get our minds and our hearts in the same place right now, and our minds lead.
Our minds lead because of the Libra or because of the Mercury?
Because most Venus and Mars are in air signs.
Right, okay.
And which can get a little abstracted.
Right, so we're trying to ground it. Got it. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was really good for making new relationships and new communities. Any community efforts that you want to make while Mars is in Libra will tend to be to activate now in this. Now we're waiting until after Mercury goes direct.
Yes, we are approaching a Mercury retrograde. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And we find with Mercury retrograde, in this case it's in Leo, and we've entered the shadow. We entered the shadow last week, so you already know what you're going to be working on this Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
And often it's time of renegotiating, reconsidering, redoing deals, re-coming up with the vision. And it's in Leo, so it also means you have to say what you love. Or what you
mm-hmm.
really want,
mm-hmm.
and that's the place to stand. It's what's the vision
mm-hmm.
for you. So, you know, we've seen it a little bit in the culture, in Ann Curry getting the boot from
mm-hmm.
NBC, and them saying, well, you know, she didn't do this and she didn't do that, and it's like, okay. And her saying, you know, I feel like I need to go and figure out what my new direction is and where I'm headed. And
mm-hmm.
it's understanding that we'll find a lot of those situations where relationships that we aren't 100% happy with, on whatever level, people are going to be in the mood to make changes on them. And
mm-hmm.
so our job is, when that happens, is to say, you know, I had a couple already, you know, people that, you know, they thought they had a job and they didn't, or they thought they were getting a project and it fell through, or,
mm-hmm.
but we're not done yet. Mercury retrograde says,
mm-mm.
if you really want it, pitch for it, but it could be going away. So,
mm-hmm.
because everybody's in the mood to reorganize and come up with their new vision of how it's going to work. So you need to pitch your side, too, what your dream is, you know. And sometimes I think with Mercury retrograde, the person who's been accompanying us on the dream falls away. But what we really find is that we're capable of doing the dream by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps we have a different dream than they had, but our dream is good. And we need to give it a voice. We need to give it a word. We need to give it a title. We need to create it. And that's part of what this is about, too, this time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, Mercury retrograde, a long retrograde in Leo. It's actually a very long one, too, relative to some of the others, which I'm not quite sure why, but I need to go look at my
mm-hmm.
astronomy and figure that out. Because it's like 73 days it's in Leo, which seems like a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this week with the full
yeah,
mm-hmm. a full retrograde.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's
well,
rare,
the whole time in lapse
like
in Leo.
Days.
Yeah, I know.
23 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's normally, but the whole time the baby's in Leo, it's not usually that long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's because it's the sun and the sun moves sun and the summer and the sun moves slower. But I haven't really sat down to figure out
yeah.
why the hell it's so long.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind Mercury in Leo, but. I also am like, why is it so long, you know?
Yeah.
Astronomy 101, what's going on up there? Why are you guys going so slow? So,
yeah, mm-hmm. and so it goes retrograde on the 16th, and it turns direct on the 9th.
Right.
And so it is an unusually long retrograde. So it's a good time to take a lazy return to a place that you've been before. I, of course, am driving across the country and back during that time, which is going to be so exciting.
You
always
do road trips on a Mercury retrograde. You have like
really
a little
funny
Mercury retrograde alarm clock in there, I think, Heather.
It is. It is. It's just, you know, oh, I'm planning a trip. Must be retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
So the, but tomorrow, the full moon in Capricorn, it's going to be, is, it can test our, you know, we might find mood swings because moon in Capricorn can get depressed. But it also, it whets our ambition and tests our sense of humor. But it's a wonderful time, this full moon, to really look at what we are ambitious about and put sweat equity into our dreams, to organize, to build, to manifest our ideals, and to watch out and to avoid our control issues can really come up with Mercury in Capricorn. And so it's a good time to kind of sit back and notice that people start getting controlling when they get nervous or anxious about something. And when they do, don't take offense that they've got their control issues up. You know, don't let them run your show, but notice it and then stand back and say, what can I do to ease their anxiety rather than buy into rebelling against their control issues? And if you yourself try to start controlling other people because you're feeling a little nervous, calm yourself down in response. Now, Anne, do we have anybody on the line? We always, it's time to give out that number and answer calls.
Our number, nope, we don't have anybody yet, but 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And also, I just wanted to note for people that last week tried to hear us. Our, for some reason, our show didn't record. So supposedly it's been fixed this week, and you're hearing us live in person. And feel free to call with questions or to write, you know, if we can also answer by email. So our call-in number, 347-215-8881. The other thing with the full moon is it's tied to it's very much tied to the January of 2010, because it's the culmination of that moon. And so when we look at that, we say, okay, what's the vision of where we're going, what we're trying to do, what we want to do? And if you did call in and you'd like us to call you, press the question mark. And we just got a question. We just had someone call in. Okay. So, hi, Monica. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You call with a question. What's your question?
Yes, I am. And as I'm listening to you guys, it probably is this Capricorn thing where I feel like I just hit this really difficult, depressed slump. And I just feel like because of that, I get really anxious and it makes me, like, I just literally drive myself into this blocked state where I feel like I'm driving my business into a block, and I don't know. I really would like to see. I feel like I feel like a kitten in a bunch of yarn. You know.
Okay. When were you born, Monica?
1978, June 6th.
June 6th, 1978.
Yeah.
And what time of day were you born?
I believe it was 1:15 p.m.
Okay, and where?
In Hungary.
Mm-hmm. Budapest?
No, it's a city called Kecskemét. K-E-C-S-K-E-M-E-T.
Okay. And you're talking about how you right now, and Venus is, you know, your sun and moon are getting some great aspects coming up. And you're actually coming out of, it looks like, a pretty heavy slump. It's not been easy for a while for you, has it?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the, we just, you know, I feel for you in some of the aspects, but Venus is about, is just been over your Mercury. It's coming up to your sun and moon. Part of your impatience is that you feel like there's something just around the corner.
Yeah.
Your progressed sun is just conjunct Jupiter. You feel like you should be expanding and growing, and it's not growing nearly fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like this, you know, you've been hard on yourself with the moon in, your progressed moon in Virgo conjunct Mars. You've got another month. So I want you to be careful about your tendency to be to take everything out on yourself and to, you know, keep it a positive question. Watch the power of your mind, that it tends to spin out into what's wrong with you and what's wrong with the situation rather than what you've done right and how you can improve the situation. I want you to really be careful about that focus. It'll be easier for you when Mars goes into Libra in a few days. Mars has been in your 12th house, like roto-rooting your back of your psyche for, you know, since November. And in the next few weeks, it's coming into your first house. And you, a lot of the energy that you've been working so hard on behind the scenes begins to become more visible to others, because it looks like right now nothing you do gets any visibility. But that should improve fairly quickly in the next few weeks.
Okay.
If you have the patience, Mars then moves into trining, forming good aspects to all the planets it was challenging for the last 6 months. So you've got some real opportunity coming up if you can hang in there for the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
Maybe 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
And what are you seeing?
I think, you know, what I noticed immediately when looking at the chart is the the Venus retrograde has also been going on the ninth house. So a lot of people have been saying they want to do things and then kind of backing out. So that process should be shifting too, because Venus is finishing up her retrograde and going forward, and she's going to go back over all the stuff that's been promised over the last couple months. And a lot of people are going to come back and say, you know, I think I'm ready to go forward, which is good. So that will help a lot, because a lot of the stuff that you've said, okay, let's do this, and they've gone, yeah, that's great, and then they go, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the ability right now. That will help. And also a lot of there's a lot of changes going on in your relationships with other people, where you're also kind of looking at the process and the amount of time you spend, for lack of a better word, on chasing other people's dreams or chasing other people's visions of what you should do, and you're kind of going, you know what, I need to pay a little more attention to me. And that will get much clearer when we get to September, October, when Saturn goes into your second house. Because you're kind of now reassessing as Saturn comes to sextile the Mars, Saturn. You know, I do a lot of work for other people's dreams. What am I doing for mine? And that's kind of the story with Libra's risings. And then your Sun and Moon is in Gemini. So there's a great desire to partner with others. And to be joined with them as a teammate or in working situations. And now your chart's going to say, you know, I'm up for that, but what's in it for me? Whereas opposed other times you might just say, well, of course, I'm going to do that because they asked me. And now you're kind of looking perhaps a little more carefully about why are you in that relationship? And I think that's really helpful. And you're going to do more of that and kind of stay, well, what am I, if I do this, what's the value? But you should be getting a lot of the people that you bid on or proposed work to coming back to you and saying they're ready to go forward. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, I think that the Saturn having sextile to her Saturn and Mars natally is going to bring in a good way of working those energies together. And, you know, so you need a steady course and just watch things develop. Also, this Mars going into Libra is going to touch your south node, both the north node, and that also brings in an opportunity for change and just a strong sense of how you use your will, how you use that thing that makes you reach out and, you know, get things going. And some of it's going to be to let go of things, and some of it to bring new things in, but either way, work with a sense of purpose. That's what you're going to feel coming up soon now, is this sense of purpose. And if something doesn't serve your purpose, then ignore it, just drop it. But the things that do serve your purpose, put yourself into them with steadiness, spreads very strongly.
Very cool.
So it's time for us to go. It's at the end of our half hour. Good luck. And I want to say to all of you out there, if you have, you are worried about how or thinking about how this astrological pattern is affecting your chart, all three of us do private readings. We'd be happy to be of help. This is Heather Rowan Robbins signing out for Access Astrology from St. Paul, Minnesota, and we're saying goodbye from
New York City, the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side.
And Mark Waltz over by the Hudson River.
And so thank you. Have a wonderful week.
Yeah, and have
a
great holiday. And Mark and I will not be at Access Astrology tomorrow. We're taking the holiday and going to go watch fireworks. So have a great week.
Wonderful.
We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good. Bye now.